you recognize that today's really not my day. Raphael agreed to switch with me. He'll be preaching next week so that I could bring some information to you guys about a ministry that I'm involved in. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But I wanted to share a little humor with you this morning. Okay, so these are all, these right here are all statements that you never hear in church. You never hear this in church. Hey, it's my turn to set the front pew. Personally, I find witnessing way more enjoyable than golf. I've decided to give our church the $500 a month that I used to give to the televangelists. Here's one for Pam. I volunteer to be the permanent leader for the junior high school Sunday school class. I love it when we sing hymns I've never heard. Since we're all here, let's start the worship service early. Nothing inspires me and strengthens my commitment like our annual stewardship campaign. This one I really would like to hear. Pastor, we'd like to send you to the Bible seminary in the Bahamas. Last but not least, I was so enthralled I never noticed your sermon went over 25 minutes.
Now that only does that.
Okay, so the other three pastors and I have shared over and over again about service, about the benefits of serving, about using our gifts, our talents, helping others. It's a huge part of being Christian. We're going to talk about it this morning. I titled this sermon, The Sheep and the Goats. This idea of service, if we look up who's supposed to be our master, Jesus Christ, and what he says about this, in Matthew 20 and in Mark 10, Jesus put it like this about himself. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's another place where Jesus taught about service in a very dramatic way. It's listed in Matthew, Luke, and John. It's where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Another place that makes me love Peter. Peter's like, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, I don't have any, you don't have anything to do with me. And Peter's like, well, wash all of me then. And Jesus's like, no, it's just your feet. So he flips rocks and jumps in. He's a great guy. I love Peter. But the idea that Jesus would teach them was even the master's not above serving. If Jesus isn't above serving, where does that leave us? We're supposed to be willing to serve. We're supposed to serve. So, the scripture that I'm going to use is in Matthew 25. Great chapter, by the way. I'm going to be using verse 31 through 46. But I'm also going to talk about two parables that are just above that. Buck used the parable of the 10 virgins when he preached. That's the first parable in Matthew 25. And it's about some being ready and some not being ready. The next parable that he uses is the parable of the talents, about not wasting the things that he's given us. And then there's this. So I'm just going to read it. Verse 31 through 46. The Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people from another, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away for eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Jesus' word tells us right there. You going to do it this way? You going to do it this way? You going to help and love and serve and feed and give, or are you not? If you do, come on. If you don't, get away. I know I myself have tried to use scripture in my time up here to tell you how blessed you will be if you serve, how wonderful it is, how exciting and adventurous it is, over and over again. And those of you who are serving, you know that's true already. Keep going. Keep doing it. The ones of you who haven't decided yet where it is you're going to serve, decide. The ones of you who think you have nothing to offer, you're wrong. He's given you some abilities. He's given you some things that lack your buttons whenever you do them. Sometimes it's baking cakes. Sometimes it's cooking. I love both of those gifts. I love them. There's some people here in this church that are just lit up by feeding people. Kurt, Eric, Emily, they just love feeding people. They love it. Have you spent some time finding out at least Kurt's reasons why? You go, okay, I got it. It's because he struggled with food when he was young. There was a lot of times in his life where they didn't have enough to eat. And so to make sure that people have food is the least that he feels like he can do for God's kingdom. And you know what? It's a joy to him to do it. He loves doing it.
Amen.
Whenever we get through with service today, they've got chili made over there. They've got a lot of chili made over there. They got a lot of different kinds of chili made over there. These people love to serve in this way. God has given them a gift of servanthood that we are blessed to have them involved in this church. Several of them. There are others like Jeannie. Her passion is clothes. She takes clothes that are donated. She has a lot of help doing it, but this was Jeannie's baby. Heavenly hand-me-downs. Let's get some clothes to some people who need the clothes. Now she's given opportunities to a lot of other people, and so is Kirk in the food pantry, to serve other people who need clothes, who need food. And so there are a lot of people that take all these donated clothes, which there's a lot of clothes. They got a whole storage building full, and then they got another. They got clothes that have to be sorted and see if they're dirty and put in sizes. There's a lot involved. It's just not like, okay, let's give some clothes away. That's not how it works. You have to do a lot of other things besides that to do that. And there are people all over this town that are grateful for this church, for the people that fed them, for the people that clothed them, for the way that they loved them and prayed for them and hugged them, and went to visit them while they're sick, and gone to visit them in jail. For those of you who don't know, I'm one of the pastors at the Denton County Jail. It's so good to be on the other side of the glass. Yeah. And then I can leave whenever I get ready to leave. It's not like I have to stay there. But my heart hurts for the people that are on the other side of the glass. I love them. I love going there. I love being able to. I don't ask them what their crime is. I come tell them Jesus loves them. Amen. I do the same thing at the parole office. I go to the parole office a couple times a month, and I, I get to talk with everybody that comes out of TDCJ, which is Texas Department of Criminal Justice, for those of you who don't know, on parole in Denton County. They have to go to a class. It's called orientation. I get to go to that class and get to tell them about how great Jesus is in my life and how much he loves them and how there's a way. They don't have to go back to the drugs. They don't have to go back to the alcohol. They don't have to go back to the life of crime that got them locked up in the first place. I love doing that. It lights my fire. Many of you know why that is. Because I've been them. I've been them locked up in the county jail. I've been them coming out of PDCJ. It's a hard thing. It's scary. One of the greatest decisions I ever made was ask God for help. He helps me. He shapes me, molds me, leads me. I love it.
Amen.
And so he's put another new ministry in my life right now. And the reason that I wanted to switch with Raphael was so that I could get the information to you guys right now. The actual event inside the prison is the first weekend of November. So we're like a month away from when we're actually going to do this. But I want you to learn about what Kairos Prison Ministry is. Kairos Prison Ministry. Now, I have a video. It's about 11 minutes long. I want you to watch this video. And I want you to listen to what they say on this video. Hopefully we can get it up loud enough and you'll be able to hear it. I think you can. So, this is pretty amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
there's several of you in here that know exactly when they were saying Emmaus and Trachtius. You know exactly what that is. Could I see the hands of anyone that's been through Trachtius, walked through Emmaus? Okay, there's a few in here that have. So you still don't know that much about Pyros right now, except it's pretty cool. They've been working on it since the 1900s. It was impacted by the Spanish War, the Spanish Civil War. A lot of lay leaders were killed and murdered. How did you feel when you learned about those guys asking the condemned men to talk to Jesus about the mission? How about that? Man, that is something else. Okay, so it's like opening a Bible and saying, I want to know all this. It'll take you the rest of your life just to learn what you can learn. You're not going to learn it all in one day. You're not going to learn all about Pyros in one day. I'm going to share some more with you here in just a few minutes, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what at least a couple of Pyros programs in Texas look like. So BDO is one of the TDCJ units, and it's been known for a long time to be one of the rougher units in Texas. BDO is about to have Pyros number 59. And they have two a year. So that means they've been doing it for over 25 years at BDO. The one that we're about to go into is Telford 4. It should be Telford 5, but there was a murder there a year ago, an inmate-on-inmate murder, that they had to cancel the whole program. There are 2,500 men in Telford Union. I just did some research and emailed to a friend of mine what I learned in this. There are more assaults on guards at the Telford Unit than in any other unit in Texas. There's some bad boys at this place. There's some bad men in this place. There was a guard killed before the Pyros number one in the Telford Unit. 30% of all the guards that worked at the Telford Unit quit. 3 out of 10 quit. It's one of the most short-staffed units in the entire state, and all of the units are short-staffed. But Telford is the most short-staffed. The most violent, most short-staffed prison. Does that sound like something you want to go into? I'm going. Good Lord willing, I'm going. But I'm taking Jesus with me. Amen. Actually, Jesus is taking me with him. And he's taking a bunch of other guys too. One of the things that they talked about, the table setting. So every table has 9 people. There's 2 inmates, then a volunteer. 2 more inmates and a volunteer. 2 more inmates and a volunteer. So every inmate has at least one outside person sitting next to him. Why did I want to bring this to you? Well, one, I wanted you to know that I was doing it. But I also wanted to tell you how you can go into these units without going into these units. I have some simple ways that you can contribute to this. The only thing this one requires is a commitment to prayer. You see these little lines right here? You put your name in your city right here and you commit to pray over the inmates, the volunteers, the chaplains, the inmates' families. You pray over the ministry, you pray over the men. And what happens is we cut this right here and take it and bend it and glue it. You ever seen a construction paper chain? Have you ever seen one? This is going to make a construction paper chain that we're going to hang all the way around the gym at Kairos. And we're going to be able to point to these condemned men and say, do you see every one of those chain links? That's people that are praying for you. And so these people that don't think they have anyone, some of them will never get out of jail. They're going to get to see link after link after link after link of people that are willing to pray for them. This costs you nothing but a commitment. If you're willing to sign one of these and you want to have one of those chain links, let me know. There's even someone here that might have more copies of this with them. I'm not sure. Another thing that costs you nothing but time. This Kairos brings outside food into the prison. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 3 days. So every day, every inmate gets a different placemat. These placemats have scripture, handprints, thank you, praying for you. Every meal is a different placemat. So we're going to need a lot of placemats. Our ladies group here has committed to helping make these placemats. So if you would like to be a part of helping making those placemats, come Tuesday night at 7, right? 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. They're going to be working on these already. I'm so thrilled that the ladies group is jumping in here and helping make these. It's really great if we can have kids involved too. I don't know how that's going to work out. Well, however it works out, our church is already committed to helping make these placemats. And I know they're committed to helping with the prayer chain as well. Now, can you imagine? Okay, so a little bit more about Telford. 2,500 inmates. The last time they did Kairos 3, I believe they were only allowed to take 30 inmates into the program because that's all they had the volunteers for. This time, the maximum number for a Kairos program is 42. We have 313 men that have sent applications to the chaplain that says, I would like to participate in this Kairos event. Out of 313, the chaplain and the leader of the Kairos has to narrow this down, probably along with the warden too. I'm not sure about that process. I'm pretty new. I think I'm doing a good job of learning how much I learned in the short period of time I've learned. But we have to narrow that 313 men down. I ask you to help us pray that we pick the right ones, the ones that God wants to be there. I know it in advance that that's who's going to be there. The ones that God wants to be there, that's who's going to be there. You know anything stronger in this world, in this universe, than the power of Jesus Christ to change someone's life? You know how many murderers there are in the Bible? Several, right?
Amen.
There's liars, thieves, cheats, drunks. They're all through God's scripture. He used those people. I remember when I was incarcerated, one of the times I heard this man say, I believe many of the next preachers of the next generation are behind bars right now. I didn't understand that when I heard him say it. I understand it more now because it's a level of pain that not many people go to. A level of separation from your family. And if you choose while you are in there to surrender to God through the Holy Spirit, that doesn't have to be just in there. This applies to you out here as well. If you decide that you want to grow closer to God and you surrender to Him more and you ask Him for His help and you get in His Word and let Him show you who He is and let Him show you who you really are. I know who I thought He was. It's not who He was. I thought He was waiting on me to die and drop me in hell. That's not who He is. He's someone that loves me very much. He gave His Son. He died for me on the cross. Because of how much He loves me. So what I thought about God was totally wrong. He'll show you who He is. Kairos is a process, a plan, a program that shows these men God's love. And God's scripture. They're blown away by people from the outside taking time. Why would you do this? Why would you take 4 days out of your life? Well, that's a lot more than four, but they only see four. Why would you take this many days out of your life to do this? Because Jesus loved me so much and He forgave me of so much that I want to serve Him. I want you to see the Jesus that I know. And that's what happens. It's been done so many times, they know exactly what the weekend looks like in the process of how the men are standoffish on the first day and how they get a little more curious. And by the fourth day, they're just tears and confessing and asking God to help them. It's a beautiful thing. So, I went over the prayer chains. I went over the placemats. As you can imagine, feeding that many people, all the volunteers and all the inmates, that's a whole lot of food. It costs a lot of money to spend, too, to feed that many people, that many meals. If you would like, suggested donation for each meal is $5. It's a non-profit organization. If you're willing to contribute to buy a meal for an incarcerated person during the Kairos program, we will accept your donations. We want every one of the inmates to have one of these with a different name on it every time they have a different placemat. So that every time they sit down to eat a meal, they've got a new placemat with somebody's name on it, and they've got a meal ticket with somebody else's name on it. They're sitting there wondering, how in the world can these people that are out there even care about me locked up in here? There's only one answer. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we care. Because of what He's done in us, for us. And now, what He's doing through us. So, one of the other great things that surprises many people, it did me, cookies. were able to bring outside homemade cookies into the men that are incarcerated. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of cookies. Certain size, they gotta be certain, you know, things that they can't have fruit in them. They might take the fruit and make alcohol with it. The sugar cookies can't have sugar on top because they might scrape the sugar off and use it for what they're not supposed to use it for. But cookies, homemade cookies, impact these guys a lot of times as much, maybe even more, than the prayer league chains, than the meal tickets, than the placemat. Because they got all these cookies and they bring them. I'm supposed to be responsible for 10 dozen cookies just myself. And the lady that handles the cookies said it's more like 15 or 20. Well, if you figure how many volunteers, there's at least 43 volunteers. I believe we have more volunteers than that. But each volunteer is supposed to bring 10 dozen cookies. So if you figure there's just 43 times 10 dozen, that's a lot of cookies. And then when they say that's not really enough, you really need more than that. So if you would be interested in signing a prayer, one of the links for the prayer chain, if you are willing to help the ladies with the placement, if you are willing to participate with these meal tickets, if you're willing to, the next level is a bigger level. I'm responsible for $300 for my part because we have to pay for hotels out there for 3 days, all the food, a lot of stuff, all this. If you're in business, you know every bit of this stuff all costs money. So if you're, the inmates are $150 a piece, the volunteers are $300 a piece. If you are, if one of your gifts, if you're as passionate about giving financially as some of these guys are about cooking, I want to meet you. I already know one. I feel like I know more than one. I want you to have these opportunities to serve. I want you to have these opportunities to participate in this ministry. Why? Because I want you to be able to serve. I want you to be able to serve somewhere else. I want you to be able to contribute to a prison ministry that you're not even going to be inside the gate at, which if you're interested in getting involved with that, we can make arrangements for that too. We can do so much more together. The Bible says two are much better off than one. And it said that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Well, a cord of 100 strands is really hard to break. It's really hard to break. So, I don't want to go down the path of trying to motivate people to serve and it ended up being some place where you felt like you were beat up. I want you to be a sheep. I don't want you to be a goat. I want you to go to the right side when God says, go over here. I want us to be on the right side. If you are serving, there's a good chance that you have feelings that I'm not serving enough, that I wish I could do more. If you're not serving, there are times when you are saying, man, I really need to do something, but they'll take care of it. I pray that you will listen to the Holy Spirit when He motivates you. And I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know if it's cooking chili. I don't know if it's helping with the sign, cleaning bathrooms. I don't know what it is that God has called you to. Some of you I do because you're doing it. Can you imagine how thankless and frustrating that job is trying to run that soundboard this morning? God bless you, brother.
Amen.
He's going to get us through this. God is going to get us through this. Sometimes helping is frustrating because people won't do what I want them to do. And the ones that are doing what I want them to do aren't doing it the way that I want them to do it. I'm glad I never fall into that category. So, this is not about condemnation. This is not about me wanting to beat you into submission about doing something. This is me wanting to love you into participating in God's kingdom. Maybe you are a prayer warrior. I know a lot of prayer warriors that are really important. They are really intercessory prayer warriors that have changed the world, man. Changed the world. You can be an intercessory prayer warrior for the Kairos International Ministry. How cool is that? You didn't see that coming when you were on your way to church this morning, did you? I think it's awesome. I think it's wonderful. I don't know what God's going to do in those people's lives, but I know what he did in my life motivated me to be willing to go back into the brokenest unit in Texas. I'm not afraid. My wife's afraid enough for both of us. So, if you know that God has called you to serve and you turn a deaf ear and you haven't done it, if you know that he's called you to participate in something, if he's motivating you to get more involved with church or Kairos or whatever other, the clothes pantry, the food pantry, cooking food around here, whatever it is, if you hear him calling, please say yes. You're going to be so blessed. My life is so much better. I got a whole bunch of new friends just from the last couple of weeks of Kairos training that I never imagined. And you know what? It's no coincidence. Because they go right around the room and go, oh, I know your pastor. Oh, I know a girl goes to your church. God's tying us together in ways that we could never imagine. And it's awfully fun. And it's awfully exciting. And I know the greatest hope for these men that are liars, thieves, cheats, rapists, killers, I know the greatest hope that they could possibly have is the creator of the universe to come in and give them a new heart.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful that he gave me a new heart, that I am willing to go do this service. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is if you're serving or not. Do you really understand what he forgave you for? Do you really understand what Jesus died for? Are you able to admit you've blown it, you've screwed up a million times, that you've said things you wish you wouldn't have said, you've done things you wish you hadn't done? Do you really understand God's grace? The more I understand God's grace, the more I'm like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? That he can love us, the messes that we are, the thoughts, the evil thoughts we have, the stupid bad things that we've done, and he loves us anyway, and he died for us, and he says, not only do I forgive you, I forgot all about it. Cast it into the sea. You're the one that brings it up, not him. If there's any place, any of those things that I just mentioned, you need to repent from it. And while the band comes up, we're going to have an opportunity for you to confess your sin. We're going to have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. We're going to have an opportunity to pray and ask God to show us what it is he wants us to do. Sometimes you can scratch your head when I ask you, how many of you think you could sort clothes? See? Not as hard as you thought. How many of you think you could take some colors and color a picture? See? It's not as hard as you thought. God has a plan and a place to use you. Amen?